It's me, Mario!
Hello! And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Day 21, Dear Journal. It has been a few more days, supplies are holding steady, but right now, waiting for this new game in this new month of April, Final Fantasy VII, Persona 5 Royal, and all these other games. Okay, maintain strong! I'm not going crazy. Not yet. Okay.
Sure. I mean, I don't want to cloud your judgment.
Oh, it's bad that the fact that Australia has it first, and the fact that our coworker Mace is just flaunting it is like, okay, no Persona 5 Royal, no F7 remake, it will go something.
Well, when it comes to relaxing, I recommend some tea for you. I can go on all night. And Talia Tyler's here too.
I didn't realize that the PlayStation was region locked. I figured you could just do what you could do on Switch and create like an online account there and buy it that way.
I'm sure there's a way.
Have you checked out Australia's prices? I mean, seriously, the conversion rate. It's bad.
Really? I see. I didn't know that. That's interesting. Well, the global economy is collapsing, so I mean, maybe like sell a horse to them, and you'll be able to get it that way.
Yeah, but like even in Canada, with our dear friend Cromcho, like her games are like conversion wise, like $20 more than what we have here in the U.S. So that's why she only gets to play like so many games. Which, by the way, she is indeed playing Animal Crossing. So she did turn back on her convictions. Because she was like, I'm not buying Animal Crossing because of this island thing. And day one, oh my gosh, I'm on my island. I don't know what to name it. So,
With the current Easter Bunny holiday, which a lot of you are kind of pissed off about.
Yeah.
We'll
All right, we'll get to that. But before we get to an action-packed day of news and Mario-themed content, we're going to talk about what have you been playing? Tyler. You go first.
I have been playing Dragon Quest XI S.
Nice.
So I finally got back into it, and I'm still fairly early into the game. I just met Silvando and saved this prince, which was a pretty classic JRPG kind of thing. There was like the cowardly prince who you had to feel like, act like you were him and win this horse race and then beat this monster. Great classic stuff. So far, the story has been straightforward, but I very much enjoy the, a classic JRPG. And I know that from what I've read, this will only improve over time, and I'm already loving it. So I can't wait to see where it goes. One thing that was really shocking to me or striking to me was how like blunt they are in their descriptions. So I was fighting this like flying lion thing, trying to complete some side quest, and it killed my main character, and instead of like saying like hero fainted, it said hero died. And I was like, oh, that's tough to reverse, like death. Like normally it's like fainted or passed out or blacked out. No, they just literally die and then resurrect with one HP after you finish off the battle. So that was interesting. I got to also explore the 2-bit world, the 16-bit 2D version of it.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. I can't figure out how to get back there yet, but I'm sure I'll find it if I look. I'm a bit of a completionist on this game. Mm-hmm. I really have enjoyed exploring, so I'm trying to leave no stone unturned, as they say. Yeah, it's good. I'm about 10 hours in, and I read it's about 100 hours, so this should keep me satiated for at least 2 or 3 weeks during this quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Dragon Quest is really just packed with a lot of content, especially with just, like, the different items, like, probably even, like, pretty sure there was, like, legendary items last I checked, don't quote me on that, but also it's just, like, this different side quest. Just the content of it is just, like, yeah, you could easily stick over 100 hours in Dragon Quest.
And there's great stuff in there for you, Will. I'm sure you know.
Oh, I'm Puff. Aware. I am very aware.
Puff was so fun.
That is the running gag. That is the running gag of Dragon Quest. I had
no idea what this was, right? So, like, I met this lady at this town. She was like, oh, I'm going to do Puff Puff. And I was like, oh, Puff Puff, that sounds cool. I don't know what that is. Is she going to like boost my stats or something? And then she kind of like blows a kiss at me. And then like, that was it. There's like, oh, you got Puff Puff for the first time. And then I get to this next town and there's this promiscuous looking young lady who's like, hey, I'm a Puff Puff artist. You trying to get Puff Puff? And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get Puff Puff. I'm trying to get some stat increase. I don't know what this does, but who might say no? And she's like, oh, we got to come upstairs now and leave your friends behind. And the screen goes black. And like, my dad is sitting here in the living room on his phone. And like, it shouldn't be weird, but like, it just, in our family, it's weird. So like, I think I know what it is, but it's like this just kind of like innuendo. And then at the end, like, there's like a joke of her dad is like there, like in the room the whole time, which is very funny. So, but it was silly. It made me think of Will, and yeah, good running gag.
Yeah, it's definitely like, yeah, it's very innuendo. It's like very suggestive, but it's nothing. It doesn't go across. It doesn't cross that line. So
no, it doesn't. It doesn't. They don't really tell you what's happening. It's just like very suggestive, but also like in a sarcastic way.
I mean,
Kagura.
The fact that you have the guy who created Dragon Ball Z as the artist, like, you really know what to expect. It. I mean, yeah, like, he's Akira Toriyama made Master Roshi, so you should know what to expect in Dragon Quest. So, yes.
I will always remember Dragon Quest VIII, which is my favorite of the Dragon Quest games that I've played, which I'll admit has not been many. But
the pirate? The one with the pirate and the guinea pig in his pocket?
What?
From Smash, the pirate outfit, is that?
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. Yeah, Journey to the Cursed King. Anyway, so there's a scene where, ironically, there is a prince who's like a coward and an idiot, and he's talking about how he's supposed to marry the princess who has turned into a horse, but they don't know that yet. So the father is being very fatherly, and he's like, you know, you don't just want to marry a princess son. You want to have a woman who has a lot of va va voom. And you can guess where the camera was pointing at a certain female comrade during this segment. And it's like, yeah, that ain't suggestive at all. So, yeah, Dragon Quest has never been afraid to play fast and loose with, you know, character models and innuendo and everything. But it's also Japan, so what do you want?
Well, that's the thing. It seems so, like traditional in the sense that it's like an old-school knight adventure. I didn't expect that, like, because all, like, it just is so, like, I don't know, I want to say, like, struggling with to find the perfect word, but, like, it's just a fantasy universe, like, the most fantasy of fantasy universes.
Yeah, traditional.
Yeah, like, so I wouldn't expect that random twist. It's very positive and upbeat.
Hey, Dragon Quest XI is the best-selling Dragon Quest game ever, apparently.
Yep,
so,
yeah, Sakurai approves.
Sakurai approves.
That's another great point. It's another game that Smash introduced me to that I really like.
There you go. See? Smash Brothers, introducing you to games since 1999. I didn't know about F-Zero or Earthbound until the original Smash Brothers game. I'm like, what the heck is a Captain Falcon?
True. I could say they were Earthbound too, admittingly. Yes.
What, no shouting at the heathens, Tyler, for not knowing about Earthbound early on in our lives?
I agree. There was a funny thing, or an interesting thing I saw on Twitter of, like, which characters do you consider to be Smash Bros. Characters rather than characters from their actual game? And Ness has to be one of them. Like, I mean, Earthbound is, like, either my favorite or second favorite game of all time, but Ness is still a Smash character. Well, maybe now he's an Earthbound character to me, but Lucas, for sure, is like a Smash character. I don't think of him in
Captain Falcon.
Captain Falcon, definitely. And Ness, I would say, is like that for most people, because even though Earthbound is easily found now, it's still not a lot of people play it.
Earthbound, our dear friend Kremlin Kevin reached out to us the other day and asked us about ROMs, and I told him that I don't play ROMs, which is 99% true. There was a time when I was trying to get to play some old school SNES games, and I did find a ROM that actually worked for Earthbound, and so I played it for like a few hours, but for me it just felt too weird. And of course at this point in time it's like the GameCube age, so like I wasn't really into like the whole retro thing. I probably would give it more of a shot now. It's just like how I tried out Final Fantasy VII on Steam, got it, and I got bored. I mean, that's sacrilege. Now I was like, oh, how can you play Final Fantasy 7, be bored. So it's like, because I've played better RPGs. That's why.
Right, the times. Yeah, the times.
But I mean, I would play Final Fantasy 7 Remake because I have a feeling that would keep my interest longer because of the updated visuals and the remade battle system and et cetera, et cetera. So it's about the times. But yeah, definitely Captain Falcon is a Smash Brothers character because, well, just because.
Yeah, Captain Falcon and Ice Climbers.
Yeah.
And,
Watch.
Game and Watch for sure. Zero Suit Samus is a good one too.
I don't know. I mean, she's been incorporated more over the years in the Metroid series.
Yeah, she's not that old. She's not that old. I mean, considering back during the SNES days, I mean, while she is that age, like way back, like Earthbound,
Zero Mission. Zero Mission had her in a mission. Like, that was her thing, and that's where we got the pistol whip.
Yeah, so. I guess that's fair. I mean, I'm not a huge Metroid fan, so I wouldn't.
It's all right.
But, yeah. That was an interesting question. I would say Marth and definitely Roy.
Oh, yeah.
No, Roy definitely. Marth I give a pass to because we did have Shadow Dragon on DS. It wasn't as good as it should have been, but we still had it.
Yeah.
Roy, though, is all Japan.
No, true. Marth would, depend more on your region because he's had, like, 4 or 5 games in Japan. But here he's had one, and then Smash.
All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
Recently, it's more or less kind of just been similar. I just recently finished up playing Neo 2 Platinum game, and just got to say the entire romp of Neo 2 is just so much fun. If there's a lot of, at the end of it, there is a throwback to the first game. Like, I got to give props to Koei Tecmo on this one, dude. You thought that Neo 2 was a prequel game? No, it's actually both a prequel and a sequel to the original Neo game.
Because that makes total sense.
I kind of give props to them because, like, again, you know, FromSoft always like does very subtle lore exposition. Like, you gotta figure out that lore from software. But with Koei Tecmo, like, nope, we're just gonna give it straight to you, and we're just gonna give a little twist of being a both prequel and a sequel. It's a nice little thing. But yeah, just and also just like facing off against that final battle at Mila. It's just like it's a very fun boss battle at the end, like, and just it was very good and just like a very fun run all the way through. So yeah, and about the game is just like, so if anyone I can only just recommend so much on Neo 2. It's just a very fun game, so definitely try it out. And I feel like it's also like one of the more easier Souls likes. I mean, aside from the Code Vein, the Neo games is also pretty fair in its fit in its system, so definitely I suggest Neo 2. And also, just recently been sticking on with Fire Emblem Heroes. They recently had that nice little retro special map, which is kind of nice for the April Fool's thing. But also with the Mythic Hero, I forgot his name. That like just Birmingham, something with a B, Birmingham, something or something. But yeah, of course, you had to go show me up, Todd. You only summoned 5 orbs. I had to take 60 orbs just to get them. But heck, I got another legendary Roy, so that's kind of a nice little side thing. So, but overall, I like them. The new Mythic Hero, not bad. This is like the first colorless spellcaster last I checked up. Yeah, this is like the first color spellcaster, and checking on that wise is very good against Brave Ike, and I think also Brave Lynn. Brave Lucina, actually, like with his the Sea Skill Into Darkness, I believe. Yeah, I think that was good. But overall, he's a very good unit against the Brave units. So overall, yeah, just keep on with Faye, just crying on my arms until the eventual Choose Your Legend banner, which, you know, I'm surprised it's taking this long. I mean, granted, with the world situation, not that, but I'm so surprised. Like, when are we going to get our Choose Your Legends? So yeah, like, how are we going to do with the 3 heroes? That's that thing I'm very curious about. And yeah, also just as I have, and also by the order of our dear host, we did play the Bravely Default 2 demo, which just for a brief moment, I have like just touched on the battle system, but I'm really surprised that you guys don't really like Elvis too much. Granted, I can get it. The Scottish git is a little bit grating on the side, but really, you don't like it? Like, I Elvis?
Todd's right. I mean, it's the subtlety. There's no, it's just like it is grating and they are bashing you over the head with his accent.
It's like this, okay? It's like you could have had like a nice, calm Scottish accent. You know, had it be subtle. you know, emphasize certain words and you would have been fine, you know, a nice calming presence. But with Elvis, you got all the Scottish in ya. You got to get to be paint, and you got to not be a git, and you know, got to kiss that brownie stone with all your golden old laddies. And...
I'm frankly, when I first time listened to Elvis, I just immediately got reminded of Scrooge McDuck. I'm sorry.
How dare you insult the name of Scrooge McDuck? All right, Scrooge McDuck is legend. Elvis is an idiot. Bless me, bagpipes.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, yeah, granted, I don't know, like, how it is going to the localization, because, like, I know the last game, they had, like, American voice actors here, so I'm not sure how it is with this game. That's what I'm going to be curious about. But also, just, like, briefly, yeah, because we have to move on, it's like, everyone's been complaining about the whole battle system going to being a bit too hard, and I can see that, like, because it even says it in the fine print in the beginning when you begin the demo, like, the levels are way bumped up more than is usually that it could be. So, like, yeah, just, like, trying to basically get to the break points, get ready to fight even basic enemies. Yeah, I can see, like, that difficulty spike just, like, right at the gate. They don't hold your hand. But I was able to manage and, like, yeah, just touched on it. But overall, it's very promising. I mean, there's definitely a lot of things to improve upon, but overall, it seems pretty promising, Bravely too.
I can honestly say that I've been playing a lot of games this week, which makes me very happy. Finally finished Pokemon Shield, beat Leon, in actually rather easy fashion thanks to the balance of my team. So that was a nice touch. Decided not to do the post-game content because I didn't really want to move on. Played Bravely for like 2 days. Not like full days, obviously, but you know, within the span of a couple days. And I had to turn it off because of Elvis. I mean, the battle system. Yeah. Totally not because of Elvis. No, heaven forbid. Not a kid. Elvis was annoying. I'm not gonna lie about that. He was so annoying. And the other characters sound fine. They honestly do. But you know, it's Elvis. They just way cranked him up. And it's. But I do like what I'm seeing in Bravely. The visuals are very nice. I know the models still aren't the best, but like the when you see the town that you're in, you can see like the perspective, like the hand drawn nature of it, but still being in 3D. That's really cool. The way you can zoom out of certain places to get a better perspective is nice. I actually like the top-down map of the overworld. That's a nice touch. The enemies look unique and not just like random outside of, you know, hornets and everything. But what are you going to do with that? My problem is the battle system, because as Will said, they said, hey, we're going to turn up the battle system just to make you understand how – or to turn up the difficulty to make you understand the battle system. That's not a good idea. All right.
Yeah, for a demo, it's a really weird decision. I haven't played it yet, so I don't know how hard it actually is. But that seems odd. You would want people to have, like, a not frustrating experience with your demo.
You want them to skate through so they can get the basics of it and understand why they want to play. But exactly. I literally stopped playing because the first battle I had, I decided to do a side quest first. I had to kill some wolves to get some wolf pelts to get some potions. Fine, and it actually helped me out because it leveled me up greatly. But even beating the wolves first time, if you don't understand the full battle system, which they don't explain in full, it's hard. And like I found out eventually that Elvis can do attacks on everybody, and everybody can do attacks on everybody at times. And so once you know that, you know, the wolves are weak to fire, I can just have Elvis incinerate them. And then just as weird, you can actually use brave points that you don't have, which is like the opposite of how it was done in Octopath Traveler, where you actually had to build up the BP before using it. You can literally crank yourself up to -3 BP, which means you're using BP you do not have, and just wiping everybody out in one turn if you know what they're weak against. It's like, okay, that's how I level up. So I did that for a while. The drop rates were crap. It took me like 30 battles to get all the wolf pelts just for 8 potions that I could have bought by that point. But hey, completionists, yeah. So I level up, I'm like level 13, 14, 15 at this point, something like that. And I go to the dungeon, because I want to like, you know, do the main quest. First enemy I fight is a massive hornet. Okay, fine. Kills me in 2 moves. Like, what? And I swear, like, unlike Octopath, where you kind of understood the battle flow, because it showed you who was attacking next, I had no idea what was going on. It's like, who attacks first, who attacks next? It's all random, there's no set order. You can't like manipulate the battle like you could in Octopath, which I really enjoyed that battle system. And again, I went into this dungeon Like, level 15, and these hornets are two-shotting my characters that have, like, over 1,000 health. And it's just like, do I not have the right armor? Do I not have the right weapons? Am I using the wrong kind of magic? I don't know! And so eventually, and because in dungeons you don't have a save point, you in the overworld and the towns you can save anytime you want, but in the dungeons you have to have save points. And so I made it really deep into a dungeon, and then I got killed by a hornet, and I had to go all the way back, and I'm like, nope, put it down.
Okay.
And it's just like, again, with Octopath, even the demo, you know, I didn't feel like it was too hard. It was the right amount of hardness. It helped me to understand what was going on, get the characters together, and then go. And then when I got the game in full, I knew exactly where to pick up and go on. I know that if I get Bravely, which is a big if at this point, I'm going to have to, you know, start over from the beginning. Now, and they did say that what we're doing is, like, out of the main game, so I don't know how that applies, whatever. But, you know, I was just like, I would want to take it a lot more slowly because I still don't understand what's going on. And that's really frustrating to a guy like me because I want to enjoy this game. I've heard nothing but great things about the first Bravely title and then Bravely Second, you know? And again, I loved Octopath, and now to play this, and this is what I get, a very annoying Scotsman in a battle system that makes no sense and wants to kill me.
The battle system, like, it makes sense. I wouldn't say it makes no sense. I will say this. The demo might be, I haven't played it, as I said, the demo might not be good, but in my opinion, Bravely Default and Bravely Second are both way better than Octopath. And I really liked Octopath. But
I think that's fine. And again, I can only gauge on what I've heard and what I've played. And for all I know, they might have changed some of the battle system from Bravely 1 and 2 to this one. I don't know.
No, so they didn't tell you who would go first. You would kind of just, like, your character's stats would tell you whoever had the highest speed, I think, would go first. But you would also get used to, okay, you know, with this set of jobs, this person goes first. Like, and you kind of just, it would just happen, and you'd get used to who would act when. So, yeah, I mean, I see that being a problem, though. I do agree that would be useful if they told you who was attacking and when.
I mean, and there are good things, like, I did enjoy how the freelancer, like, I like how the jobs were done, even though they explained that the best either, but you know, like the freelancer job, you can examine an opponent and find out its health and its weakness. That's great stuff, and I did that early on with all my battles. But, you know, when I'm facing opponents that I am having trouble killing, I'm not going to waste a turn examining crap, all right? I'm just going to press buttons and see what works. And yes, I know I could have done the BP. I don't care. But, you know, there are good points, and again, I probably will try this out again, but I'm hoping that a lot of people tell Bravely, the Bravely team via Twitter or whatever, that this game needs to have an average difficulty, and to tone Elvis the heck down, or else. And then my other game that I played was, we got a review copy of Saints Row 4 Reelected, and I forgot how much fun Saints Row can be. As I mentioned on the podcast previously, I was part of the development team for Saints Row the Third. And I was supposed to be on there for Saints Row 4, but that's another story entirely. And but I played this originally on PC, and now I'm playing it on Switch. And it's funny how much I remember things, like certain side missions, the activities that you can do, and then some things are still rather fresh to me. And the computer world that we're in, we're basically in the Matrix, and it's fine. So I love the superpowers. I get to, like, jump tall buildings in a single bound. Where have I heard that before? And, like, glide through the air and then freeze people solid, because we all want that. Mm-hmm. We all do.
I'm just wondering, how does it hold up on the Switch? How's the performance?
Okay, it's complicated because when I played it, this was like a couple months, like a month or so after the game version. The PC version was noted to be the worst version. Like, they sourced that one out, like certain other companies do, and it wasn't the best version, but it was playable. On the Switch, there are some notable graphical problems, but you could also say, like, well, that was kind of what it was like when it released. And, like, yeah, you're kind of right. So I'm trying not to judge it too hard, and I'm playing it in handheld mode, so that's obviously, like, the definite lower. But it's still very much playable, very much enjoyable, and just the right amount of insanity to get me through the day. Because, you know, when in doubt, you just need to freeze people and shatter them into a million pieces. I mean, aliens. Yes, aliens. Total. Yeah. Not regular people. No. Never. No. No. And but yeah, it's fun. And the voice acting. The voice acting has always been what I loved about Saints Row franchise, because they really got some. They got Keith freaking David to play Keith freaking David. Yeah. That's Mr. Keith David to you. Like,
and the fact that they use Nolan North as a marketing tool, that's what I like about it as well.
Oh, yeah, it's great. And they even had the Nolan North voices, and Lauren Bailey does a great female boss. Let's see, they have Rob Van Dam as a game show announcer, which wrestling fans will get that joke.
St. Rose always has an all-star cast of voice actors for the boss, like Troy Baker, Robbie Atkins Downies. It's just like, pick any voice, you're going to have a fun time. Just like, it's very top-notch performances.
It's good stuff. Is it the best game ever? No, Saints Row the Third was much better. I'm not saying that just because I was a game tester on it, but it was honestly an amazing title. But Saints Row the Four is mindless fun, and honestly, this is a perfect game to play in this time. You know, not a hardcore RPG with an annoying Scott, but a game where you can just, run at supersonic speed, use a black hole gun, have a hovercraft, be with Keith David. You know, the little things in life. The little things in life that make you smile. So, look forward to my review either this week or next, just depending on how much time I have, but I'm very much enjoying it, and I'm so glad that I've been able to play a lot of games this past week, because I've been struggling, as you know, trying to, get work done and play games, but I was like, I gotta do this, and I did. So, yay.
Both Alvis and some of the voice actors in Dragon Quest make me so thankful for how great the voice acting in Three Houses is.
Oh yeah, Three Houses is so good.
It's so good. Like, you don't realize it until you play other JRPGs that are like, oof, really rough.
Yeah, I still remember like that one horrible Wii RPG like way back when. Like, there's like one that's like very horrible dubbing. I forgot his name. It's like, ugh. I forgot the name.
No, yeah, but I think I know what you're talking about. I saw something about that on Twitter.
All right, well, with that, we are going to head into the news, because there's honestly been a lot of news, and not in a mini format, but in a large one. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And starting off, we're going to hit it right off the park with our biggest news of the week. Leak, rumor, whatever you want to call it, from Nintendo is stating that 2020 is going to be the year of Mario. Why is that? Well, apparently because it's going to be celebrating the 35th anniversary of the franchise. So happy birthday, Mario. And according to various sources, including Chronicle and Eurogamer, which are very reliable sources, Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy are all going to be getting Switch ports in the remastered style. Really interesting, especially for 64. So, again, not confirmed by Nintendo, but it's heavily implied. And also, apparently, Super Mario 3D World is getting a deluxe version, kind of like Mario Brothers you did last year. And that's also coming. So, just this year, apparently, we're going to get 4 Mario remaster / deluxe versions.
So, apparently, the year of Mario instead of year Luigi.
I saw a kind of conflicting report from, I believe it was IGN, or no, it was VG, whoever initially reported, I think VG or something, saying that they might not be all be remasters. The 3D Mario games might just be like Mario All-Stars, but with 3D games.
Right.
Which would be cool in its own right, obviously.
Yeah, so. I don't know. That would change my opinion on it, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
It's definitely, like, if these rumors are true to have, like, these remasters coming back, like, of course, a lot of people have been clamoring to get back Super Mario Sunshine, because, that thing is an underground fan base right there. And everything else, it would be something. Bring back Mario again, or celebrate the year of Mario for the 35th anniversary. That would be nice. The only thing I'm just kind of like, if they're going to bring back Super Mario Sunshine, is just those horrible levels of pachinko, that dreaded poison river. Man, I'm getting nightmares. Sorry, I'm getting PTSD.
Yeah, Sunshine is definitely one of the most divisive Super Mario titles by far. You know, you either love it or you hate it. We'll be talking about this in our main event about whether the year of Mario is what we need in 2020. But it's still interesting because, again, this wasn't just some random rumor on like Resetra or from one of the Twitter people who randomly post stuff. But this was two very accredited websites saying that they've heard that this is happening. And this would be not unlike 2017, where a lot of deluxe versions or remasters, you know, came out for the Switch. And so we'll see. And if this is a Super Mario All-Star situation, that might be better, but it might not. So we'll debate that a little later. But another key is that in conjunction with the remasters, we are apparently going to get a brand new Paper Mario game. And though rumors are slightly scarce on this one, it is stated that it will follow more in the roots of the original title and Thousand Year Door, thank God. Or should be thanks, Sakurai. I'm just hoping.
I mean, here's hoping, like, Nintendo finally listens to the fans. Here's hoping that they finally go back to the tried and true format that a lot of people and the fans love, myself included. And apparently, like, this entry is supposed to be better than Thousand Year Door, so, but that,
don't push it.
But that remains to be seen. That remains to be seen. It's just like, yeah, Nintendo, please, if you got, do what do best. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't fix it, but it ain't broke. So just, like, stick with the Thousand Year Door formula, stick with that turn-based RPG, but put an extra spin to it. Yeah, even put on, like, a smaller gimmick. I don't care. Just don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, I would say Paper Mario is pretty broken at this point. They need to restore it, is what they need to do. Because, I mean, how long has it been since Thousand Year Door? I think that was 2004, but I'm not 100% on that. But yeah, no, I mean, if they bring back the traditional Paper Mario for all these years, that would be just, it would be unthinkably great. I would be so happy. And I think that that's going to happen. The Switch has done a great job of doing what you said, Will, putting twists on familiar concepts, bringing games back to their roots while innovating at the same time. So I think Paper Mario is going to get that same treatment.
Thousand Year Door. Okay, first of all, the original Paper Mario was just so good. It was so unique. It felt. And then Thousand Year Door just other level, and it was great. And I love the man to death, but then Miyamoto came in and was like, you know, we need to change this up. Every game's got to be different. And that's where we got Sticker Star. And then, like, and then it failed horribly. You know, the fans hated it. It got terrible reviews, and they're like, no, we can keep working this. Let's do Paper Jam. Yeah! And then they did Color Splash. And it's like, no, stop it. Go back to what we love. We want pure RPG. And hopefully, prayfully, Sakurai willing. I know he's not part of the team. I'm just saying it to invoke the Nintendo God. You know, hopefully that's not happening. And ironically, a few weeks ago, I saw an article with Miyamoto, and he said that he's actually not going into game developers anymore and quote helping them change things up. He's decided to stop doing that. So I'm like, good, stay away from the Paper Mario team. Okay, let's just go back to what made Thousand Year Door great, and let's have some fun. But, yay, because if it's what we hope it is, I will totally get it. I have not gone to Paper Mario games since Sticker Star, because I don't trust the series anymore. But if they show me that it's like it was a Thousand Year Door, I'm there. Totally there.
Yeah, I do love the original Paper Mario so much. But Thousand Year Door is phenomenal as well. I'm trying to think of a good kind of twist that they could put on it. And honestly, I don't really think that they need to at this point. It's been so long since we've had a traditional Paper Mario game.
It is.
That just having that back would be fantastic. And I will say, in favor of the newer games, the animation is great and the writing is as good as it's ever been. So if you put the gameplay of the old ones and mixed with the improved animation, phenomenal writing of the new games, you will probably have the best game in the series.
And I never forget that it was the writing of the Paper Mario games that made Peach not just a damsel in distress. In both games, she was, and yes, three, I acknowledge that, but mainly in the first two, she was like a major side story, and you actually did things with her that made her feel relevant instead of just, oh, Mario, where are you? It's, hey, I'm going to help you out, and we're going to figure this out ourselves. So, yeah.
Right. And granted, like the Super Paper Mario games, like while it was not the same thing as before, yeah, even that thing I admit is like they're just great characterization of all characters, including Bowser as
Yeah.
well. So yeah.
But please, Nintendo, give us the Paper Mario game we want and deserve. We'll buy it in millions, I guarantee you. All right, moving on to a release date that we meant to mention last week, but we just forgot. Shantae and the Seven Sirens has gotten a release date of, wait for it, May 28th.
Oh, jeez,
Yeah,
great.
if you're wondering why we're saying it like this, it's because Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition is on, wait for it, May 29th. Why are you making me choose? Are you expecting me to beat Shantae in one day? I mean, seriously, Nintendo, are you expecting that from me?
I mean, there are speed runners, but given the and of course, right now the game is currently out for Apple Arcade. Jeez, how much money you have to go and pay? But it's something. It's definitely a choice between many games because a lot of games are like gonna be released given on that date, that time period. Granted.
Yeah, no. It, fortunately, I don't know how long Shantae games are. It's a 2D platformer, right? It should be beatable within a day.
Half Genie Hero was about 15 hours if you do all the
Okay,
open-ended
well,
stuff. It was good.
yeah, those are the type of games, though. I think they can coexist alongside a more massive RPG. Like it's like a curveball, you know. Like you're the RPG, that's the fastball. You're playing that for hours. You're leaning on that, but then you mix it up with the change up every now and again.
And yeah, also last I checked as well, like for the previous games for Wii U and for Switch, they don't sell for usually for full price, not the usual $60 price tag. Usually it's like a $50, so I think it's like definitely on the smaller side of things. Yes.
This is supposed to be like one of the biggest Shantae adventures ever. It's even got an animated opening. It's got a non how do they say this? No, not. I'm looking at the summary for this thing. Anyway, it's like a non-interconnected world. So, you know, they're helping you, show you that this is going to be like a major Shantae adventure. And I really loved Half Genie Hero. If you recalled, I called it the game of the year for the Wii U when it came out. Which is saying something about the
Right,
Wii U.
That did say something about the Wii U.
Did, but it was a really good game. I really liked it. So
It
I'm
is,
looking
it
forward
is.
to Shantae, and I will do my best to beat it in a day, I guess. So, oh boy, but we do have the teaser trailer for the game on our website, including a full synopsis for you to enjoy. And this will be a multi-platform title, and as Will said, it's already on Google Arcadia. I'm sure they. Wait, did I say Arcadia?
You said Arcadia. It's Apple
Arcadia.
Arcade.
That
Apple
too.
Arcade, yes.
That too. Oh, the thing is Stadia. Like, that's still a thing. And then next month it'll be out on Atari. You know? I'd play it. Moving on. So, yeah. But if you're a Shantae fan, you got a lot to look forward to. Alright, next up, we got Fire Emblem. And this is an article that I wanted to do because of Tyler. He was the first to play Cindered Shadows and actually reviewed it for us, which is a miracle. And a kid, kind of. And but one of the questions he had was like, why is it that we can play as all three house leaders, but only certain ones, certain other cast members from the Blue Lions, the Golden, e oh sorry, the Golden Deer, and the Black Eagles? Well, now we have that answer. Directors Toshiyuki Kasahaki, not blah blah, Kusaki Hara, sorry, and Genki Yokota. Talked to Nintendo Dream about this. They went, quote, "We wanted the foundation of the story to be the house leaders working together, so we knew they would all be present from the beginning. After that, we chose one person from each house. We surmised that we wanted each student to be somebody with a good deal of combat potential. Assuming that, we narrowed it down more to the characters whose skills felt right to include. Later, we decided which characters would have some kind of relation to the characters that appear in the story. Lindhart, for example, can talk at length about Crest, so we felt he could play an important role in the events of the story. As for Ash, he could relate pretty heavily to having to live somewhere like the Abyss, so he felt that because of that he could help expand the story. So they chose the characters that you're going to play in the first part of Cindered Shadows, or the first storyline of Cindered Shadows, because of how they relate to the story. So this was very deliberate and not random. So that's nice to hear, because, you know, Three Houses is a very detailed game. It would feel weird if it was just random. So
yeah, it's interesting how the translation kind of reads to me, because on the one hand, when they say the story is based on the three lords working together, I didn't actually really feel that. I felt like if that was what the story was kind of based on, they missed the mark. It felt much more about the Ashen Wolves.
Well, I think they're meaning it as, you know, this is a storyline where they're all like working together.
Yeah.
Because that's not what happens in the other, in any of their other storylines.
Right, right. No, and it was definitely cool, but it didn't feel like, whoa, this is crazy. Dimitri and Edelgard are on the same side. Anyway.
For now.
But when they said that they were focused on their combat potential, that was like the first thing they looked at. And then the second thing was like the character's skill set. And then the third thing was how they relate to the story. Each character does feel like they can do one of those. Hilda is just a great combat unit, and it makes sense that she's in there. Linhart makes sense with the story, but he's also your natural healer, so his skill set fits the role. And then Ash does fit in the context of the story well. I do wish they did more with Ash, because he seems like the right pick, but they didn't do a ton with him, because again, they were really focused on the Ashen Wolf characters. But
can we just acknowledge that they actually just put Ash in there because it's one letter short of Ashen?
That's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there. Ash should be part of the Ashen Wolves. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. It's easy to imagine a world where he would have been a member of the Ashen Wolves.
Then again, he probably would have been devoured. I don't like Ash. I've never liked him. He's just there. He was just there for me in the Blue Lions. His best storylines were with Ingrid and their talk about knights and books, and I was like, that was cute, but everything else is just like, ugh.
I liked Ash. I thought not that he was like a superiorly written great character, but his voice actor did a really, really good job, and he's a nice fellow, you know? Like I didn't need anything more than what I got from him. Like he didn't blow me away, but
with the whole character of him, a former thief now turned honorable and finally going on a straight path. I mean, nothing too complex, but again, it's basic enough. And the fact also in the beginning, when you face up against Lanato, is like, yeah, that's kind of like one of his turning points in his chapter. So, you know, it's nothing too complex. It's nothing complex.
It's tough because it's the very beginning of the game. So, yeah. Like, you don't really know Ash that well. You don't really know Lord Lanato that well. So it kind of is easy to overlook. But I don't know if you got his support with Catherine. That was a really good one. That was very revealing about his character, and I thought added a good amount of depth to him that you didn't see elsewhere.
I think I did. I don't remember, though. But then again, I didn't really use Ash that much, especially my Blue Lions run, because I was still getting the feel for everything.
Yeah.
So I don't remember now. But anyway, I thought you'd like to know that, Tyler, since I know you were curious when you played it. And when did it come out? Like last week of February?
It came out. No, I think it came out the last week of January.
Really? Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in January. It was like actually during the time when I came back from a vacation from Malaysia, I believe. Somewhere around that time, yeah.
All right. Makes me feel old. All right, moving on. We have game delays. Thankfully not Nintendo, at least not yet. But the coronavirus that is hitting the world still. And again, we hope you're all staying safe and healthy. It's once again hitting video games and their release dates. We have The Last of Us Part 2 is delayed. Again.
Indefinitely, sadly enough.
So, like, this is seriously, this is like the fifth or sixth delay for this game. I mean, what the heck? An Iron Man VR game, which I didn't even know was coming, that's delayed indefinitely. Ghost of Tsushima, did that get delayed? I saw it trending earlier.
No, there has not been word of yet for that game, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's down the line. But it's currently right now only Yeah, Last of Us Part 2 and a Marvel VR game currently right now. And those games are currently delayed indefinitely until further notice.
Exactly. That's what indefinitely means.
No date.
That's what indefinitely means. It means like you don't know when it's coming back, so we won't know when it's coming back until we get the notice, Will! Come on!
Mm.
Nani? But
you know,
yeah,
that line is really starting to get tired, and that's weight. That joke has gone way too coarse now.
Donnie has run its time.
Yeah, alright, so, but yes, it is an interesting time of game delays, and then, also, and much to Will's chagrin, he noted this earlier, Square Enix, in order to combat what is going on with the coronavirus, they actually released Final Fantasy VII early to certain countries not named the United States.
Damn you, Australia. Like, the fact that they released the game over on the Eastern Hemisphere on Australia, like, oh, good to be in the place down under. And yeah, our co-worker Mace is playing the game so freely and taunting me with these screenshots. It's like, okay, I can wait my first class edition from Square Enix stores. Just hopefully the logistic company doesn't get delayed as well. Okay, I'm calm. Damn you, Mace.
Hey, watch it. I told you that was your one. That's two. No more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I could see you, though, like, when I could see you through the internet, Will, when Mace posted that screenshot of Cloud and Tifa together and Tifa going, we need to talk. I'm like, I could see you, like, clawing at the computer. I want to talk with you, Tifa!
I'm literally wasn't a gif of a freaking Edwardo in El Dorado, like, just banging my head just to try to, like... Jay is like trying not to go crazy.
Yeah, failing so hard. So hard, Will. Ah, all right, moving on. Quite an interesting thing happened on April Fool's Day, and I bring this up for various reasons. First off, WayForward announced a new game. It's like a retro arcade title. I can't remember the name for the life of me, but it has to do with a cat lady thing. So, and the trailer for it is absolutely hilarious. They talk about how, like, they announced, like, the greatest game ever, but no one would believe them. But now they're going to be rolling over in their graves and that kind of thing. And then they show this retro title. It's very cute, you know. So if you're looking for a new game, go try it out. But then, also on April Fool's Day, we got a, I guess you could call it a trailer of sorts, for a new DuckTales title. And it was in the style of the new DuckTales series that's on Disney XD, which is about to launch its Season 3 this Saturday. Looking very forward to that. And the graphics were spot on. They had all the new models of the characters and everything. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, we're getting DuckTales again. This is so awesome, because the original DuckTales title is a classic from the SNES days and beyond. And then, of course, DuckTales Remastered. But apparently it was a lie. Because the showrunner for DuckTales, the modern DuckTales, was like, no, this isn't us, but how do we get this to happen? And then another report came out that this was actually a game pitch that got rejected. I know! And this is like, which explains why it looked so complete in terms of the graphics and the gameplay and everything. So hopefully, between DuckTales Season 3 about to come out and this April Fool's joke, which wasn't a joke at all in its own right, hopefully this gets this happen, because we all need more DuckTales in our lives.
I agree. Again, with now, like, kind of like that resurgence for the DuckTales Remastered that just got, I think now currently, I'm not sure. Yeah, that just came back on the Wii U shop, I think, last I remembered. Yeah. Like, now, I think it feels like we're definitely in a mood for a new DuckTales. I mean, heck, I would not mind more of Bill Tent as a Scrooge McDuck and everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real Scott, Will.
Yes, Scottish kid. Like, hey, the only thing of the Scottish kid I would probably prefer is the one with the killer rabbit.
Oh, bless you, bud pipes.
I'm not gonna speak in an accent, sorry. But the only way I buy it is if Cranky Kong makes a playable appearance as an alternate for Scrooge McDuck, because Cranky Kong is the best, and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze is the best.
Yeah, and Tyler's muted. All right, I pulled up an article about this. Apparently, the people who made this was FDG Entertainment, and the game was to be called DuckTales Quack Shots. Get it? Quack, like a duck. And they said they were partnering with the Monster Boy game developer Game Atelier.
Yeah.
And then they later went, oh, after everybody was like freaking out about this, they go, thank you for the overwhelming feedback on our DuckTales Quack Shot screens. We worked hard on a legit pitch to Disney, but unfortunately never got the license. It would have been a shame to bury the materials, so it became this year's April Fool's. Maybe someday Disney will reconsider. So, yeah.
It did look just like Monster Boy in the Cursed Kingdom. So I'm not actually, I'm surprised I didn't put that together because the art style was pretty much identical.
Yeah, and it's very much like the modern DuckTales, which is why I'm guessing it was at least attempted to be made, which I appreciate because the modern DuckTales is awesome. So, and the original is awesome. Just to be clear, not dissing anybody. Just like I like the modern one a little better. So again, season 3 this Saturday on Disney XD. So hopefully Disney will have this game be made because again, we need more DuckTales in our lives. Do you know why, Tyler?
Because of Cranky Kong?
Shut up. Fine. I'm going to try a more noble soul. Will, do you know why?
Because we need more Scrooge McDuck.
I try so hard with you two. I try so hard to give you the references, to know what to do. The answer was because life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, arrow. You all suck. Moving on. Oh, don't you do that to me. You imposter who thinks that Elvis is as good as Scrooge McDuck. Anyway, so a story that I am very excited for is coming up on this Monday. Death Battle is going to be airing its newest episode, and in this Death Battle that I'm very, very excited for, we're going to have Goro from Mortal Kombat versus Machamp from Pokemon.
Yeah.
I can feel your discontent, Will, and you can shove it.
Because... No. It's not discontent. It's definitely an interesting matchup, to say the least. Again, yes. four armored creatures facing off against each other of different lores. It's going to be an interesting battle, to say the least. But the fact that Pokemon lore has always been up there, I feel Pokemon definitely has the advantage here.
Yeah, no, Pokemon definitely has the advantage. I mean, Goro is bigger. He's 8 foot two and 550 pounds, but champs are usually about 5 feet and 2 inches. See, I know stats. And so he has a size advantage, obviously because of his time in Mortal Kombat, including being 2,000 years old and being the champion of 9 straight Mortal Kombat tournaments. Lore, everybody! He does have the experience advantage, but Machamp is stated in multiple Pokedexes to be able to throw 1,000 punches in 2 seconds, to be able to throw an opponent over the horizon. I'm still trying to figure out how that works. And he is a master of martial arts versus Goro only knowing about 3. And, yeah, it's a stomp. It's a stomp for Machamp, but this is going to be an awesome battle. I kid you not. This is going to be really fun to watch. I guarantee it. So, I'm excited.
I've seen Goro die many times. I've never seen Machamp die. So, I'm going with Machamp.
Well, you think you're going to show up a Pokemon death? Well, technically in movies and all that, but you really think you're going to show up another Pokemon death?
That's what I'm saying. I think if Machamp thinks we're looking bad, he'll faint and return to a Pokeball.
Oh, well, first of all, this is a wild Machamp, so that Pokeball feat won't work.
Oh, he's not IV trained. EV trained. It changes everything.
In Death Battle, when it's a non-trainer Pokemon, so aka like not Pikachu or Red Charizard, they go for wild Pokemon leveled up to 100 based on average stats and the most latest move set. So, for example, in this version, we gotta use Gen 8 Machamp, obviously. So he knows moves like Dynamic Punch and Low Sweep, Seismic Toss, Dual Chop, which is a dragon move, which is important because Goro is half dragon.
Ooh.
Shokan Race is half human, half dragon.
Ooh, game
yes,
changer.
And dragon moves work really well against dragons, so that's a super effective hit. But yeah, it's this is gonna be fun, and I look forward to it. It's a 3D death battle. They've actually showed a small clip of it on Twitter. Look up a Ben Singer, who is the voice of Wiz and the showrunner for the channel. And it's just going to be fun. They've been talking about this forever because it's like, you know, it's the obvious one. Who are you going to put Goro against? You're going to put him against Machamp because it's got 4 arms. I mean, yes, you could do Ben 10 with 4 arms, but Ben 10 went up against Green Lantern, and, well, you just should just go watch that one. It's a... But they've been talking about this because of the Pokedex, because the Pokedex is so crazy, as we've talked about in numerous... episodes in the past, because of how they describe the Pokemon in rather scary fashions, including certain Pokemon being the embodiment of human souls, or like Drifloon lifting kids to oblivion. So, Pokemon's creepy. Can we just be honest here?
That they are.
All right, moving on. But seriously, that's happening on Monday on YouTube, so definitely go and check it out and support Machamp. Go Team Pokemon. Let's see. Okay, another rumor that's come out recently about Nintendo's E3 2020. Now, obviously, as we've stated before, E3 2020 is canceled, which is fine, because it just means that developers will have to figure out another way to introduce things. And we know that Nintendo will more than likely do something because they've been probably prepping for this for months. And a leak came out via an image and other things highlighting what were going to be apparently some of the big things that they show off at their E3 press conference. And the biggest ones is they're going to obviously show more about the the Isle of Armor expansion for Sword and Shield. So that was the obvious one. They apparently were going to show a true reveal trailer for Metroid Prime 4. We'll see. Talking about the new Paper Mario game, which we talked about earlier. Apparently a Pikmin 3 Switch port, and possibly a Pikmin 4 announcement, which has been also talked about forever.
And possibly a Pikmin 4 announcement.
I said that.
No. I'm questioning the and possibly part.
I don't know. Well, again, we've known about Pikmin 4 forever.
Yeah, no, I know, but this leak is very, so far, not convincing.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Outside of Paper Mario, because we got another leak to kind of confirm that.
Right. That's what it seems like. They're just like, oh, okay, what's the safest things we can predict? Metroid Prime 4 is like the only risk that they've taken so far, but carry on.
So, again, this is a rumor. This is not confirmed. And this one is very much via, like, unreliable sources, in this case, Reset Era. So, yeah, take it with a grain of salt. And obviously, for all we know, Nintendo might not do anything for June. That would be stupid, in my opinion, but you never know. We are in uncharted territory with everything that's going on here.
Granted, even with the current situation, Nintendo has been doing their digital events every year so far, so it would be odd for them to miss it now. And yeah, like those seems to be would be the big bangers for Nintendo. Metroid Prime 4, Pikmin, naturally, and yeah, perhaps even the new IP. Perhaps that would probably cinch Nintendo's E3. But again, E3 is canceled, so who knows? We'll definitely clinch the year.
Again, take it with a grain of salt, but maybe we'll see. All right, next up, we have, Ninjala. Will, I'll let you take this one.
Yes, so earlier in the week, Gung-Ho Entertainment, the developers of Ninjala, the free-to-play game for the Switch, later on in May, has released its first very impressive CG episode of Ninjala, basically showing off revealing like background characters of Burton and Becca. Yeah. It's basically showing off like the history of Ninjala, of the occupation of the ninja and the entire city, basically roamed in ninja culture. Basically, the main character of Burton is trying to develop a ninja gum, which basically allows for any person to tap into their ninja DNA to harness their ninja powers. Yeah, it's a cartoon. The episode also shows up like one of the assistants basically tried to kill Burton because he is the descendant of Hanzo, which I mentioned it in my article, like the pronunciation of Hanzo instead of Hanzo is like this whole Mario and Mario debate. Yeah. It's just that thing. But I digress.
I know everybody who says, was it Hanzo?
Stop it.
That's how you pronounce it. It's
like, yeah. Overwatch. It's Hanzo.
The ninja gum actually did well, but of course the side effect is that they turned to kids, and it's kind of funny enough that even Burton had to go and check his family juice to make sure it's there, which is a nice little subtle adult humor right there. And yeah, basically ended off with the only way to revert back is by entering Ninjala, which is the tournament that of the basically of the entire city. And overall, I'm gonna say I'm very impressed with the CG animation of the episode. A good solid 10-minute episode, and just like probably even much more better lore than Overwatch. I admit, like it explains so much more than Overwatch. Just like with this 10-minute short, it's. Like, I'm not sure if anyone has seen the show, but it also reminds me in similar terms of Miraculous Ladybug, that CG show. But yeah, overall, this I'm this kind of really like builds up the hype for Ninjala. Is like, I don't know, I'm kind of excited. Just like, again, they showed off the basic concept, the history, and what it's gonna be with the whole ninja concept. And of course, they have cats. They have good old fat cat ninjas. So I don't know. I feel like this they're gonna definitely trying to compete with the whole Splatoon aspect of like that cartoon violence and just that deep lore. That's what how I compare Ninjala to Splatoon. But overall, it seems very promising, Ninjala.
Yeah, Ninjala has the same problem that game that's like looked exactly like Cuphead, but wasn't Cuphead, that ripoff thing that was on the internet like 5 months ago. I can't remember its name. That's the problem that Ninjala faces, though. It looks so much like Splatoon, but I don't know if people are going to be interested, like willing to give it a chance to differentiate itself, because it just seems like such a carbon copy.
Mm. I think the big difference here is that obviously without the ink, it's about gum now, and you obviously just can't hide, but it's also free to play. So that might actually help it in the long run, because if it was like, you know, a $60 game or whatever, people might be a little deterred, because it's like, oh, I could just play Splatoon and have a better experience. But if it's free, then they might try.
Right. That's definitely one of the advantages from Gung Ho. And yeah, aside from the whole kitty aesthetics, of course, like it's very similar in both terms. Again, the cartoon violence, the kid style action and all that. But again, if you love ninjas, which I personally love, I think this may be a game to definitely watch out for. Again, it's free to play, so you never know.
Now about that, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just eagerly waiting for the next episode for this show.
So now, if I understand the storyline, all right, would you say this is a case of you're a kid now, you're a ninja now,
something of that sort? Now, I mean, again, the gum does change you into a kid, so well, yeah, that is the concept. And when
when you explain the joke, you ruin the joke.
What am I? I'm a straight guy here, so sue me.
Oh, I'll sue you. Don't think I won't. Tyler, I want to end this with you, because we were having a conversation earlier about ARMS and Smash Brothers, because you almost randomly made a post.
Oh, it was random. Almost random. It was extremely random. I was in the shower, and I was reflecting on the ARMS announcement for Smash.
We could confirm Tyler thinks about Nintendo in the shower.
Of course. Would you guys not think about Nintendo in the shower?
Depends on the,
day. I imagine I'm getting clean, thank you.
I'm usually doing wrestling promos.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was thinking about ARMS in the shower. Normal thing, we can all agree. And I wanted Ribbon Girl to be the character so badly, but I realized I can no longer deny that Min Min is undoubtedly going to be the character that they put in. And that's for a couple reasons. One, Min Min can use her feet, which adds some diversity to her moveset. I'm sure she could do a nice little flip kick as like an aerial special or something like that. She has the second arm that is like the superpower dragon arm. So you could have your tilt attacks with the light arm and then the smash attacks with heavy arm. Makes a lot of sense. And then she won the popular vote, or she won the final ARMS party crash. So she was the most popular character in the game as well. The only thing against her is I don't think the ramen bowl really works in Smash as an arena. So, you know, that I think is the only other point that's kind of giving me the slightest hope that it's going to be Ribbon Girl. But I am pretty sure that it's Min Min. What do you guys think?
A lot of discussion regarding who this character is going to be is up there. Min Min's obviously one of the top tiers, because again, with the current examples of winning the last Party Crush event, and definitely one of the more popular fan bases. And of course, they're up there. But personally, for me, I'm biased. I'm wishing for Twintail, forget it. Because, like, again, the fact, I mean, this whole time slot thing, sure, maybe overdone with Pole Bayonetta, but I think Twintail can definitely be up there as well. But I think also the reason may also probably be Min Min is because, one, Mr. Yabuki won with Min Min in the E3 tournament back in the day. And, like, it's really hard to say, because again, all three characters definitely have great top fan bases, so like it could really go either way.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, we all agree that it's not going to be Springman, because he's the assistant if they were gonna do Springman, they would have just announced it instead of saying, "Hey, we're still working on it," because I guess they still want it to be a surprise. So again, they showed the whole roster. Ribbon Girl is the other obvious one, and maybe they'd still do her, maybe they don't. I don't know. Min would be interesting, and I wouldn't be opposed to that. But again, there's also Twin Tail, who has the hair gimmick, and would be really interesting. And of course, then we could get Twin Tail versus Bayonetta, and I'm sure a lot of people want to do that for various reasons. but there's also, there's still all the other guy characters. Like I mentioned, Bark and Bite. We got Mummy, King Mummy. We got crap. Who was the champion?
Max Brass.
Jara.
Stop. But yeah, there's a lot of options. I like the idea that it could be Min, but I don't know, with what's going on with ARMS and the fact that they're just not saying who it is right now, I think they're really trying to go off the wall with this. So, I don't know. I mean, your logic is sound-ish, based on what we know about who might be in there or not. But, I don't know, maybe Nintendo's going to pull it back. It could be Helix for all we know. Wouldn't
perhaps,
that be a hoot?
Perhaps, yes.
It would be. I would think that they would pick one of the most iconic characters from the game. And, that's where Ribbon Girl, has a real shot, because she is on the cover of the game. Right, but at the same time, Min and Twin Tail were definitely the two most popular characters. Maybe Ribbon Girl was third or fourth, with Helix also being really popular. But when you think about all the factors, popularity, moveset, kind of how creative and true to the game Sakurai could be. Because, Twin Tail fights with her hair, which is cool, but the game's called ARMS. So I don't know. It's a weird little tiny, really tiny point, but I think they might want somebody who actually has the stretchy arms to be the
game. You're not wrong.
Right.
We're going to find out in the next Nintendo Direct, which with our luck is going to be next. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I like the thought that you apparently put into the shower and this. So,
right.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm sure it flooded your mind.
Listen, I came out and I felt like I achieved some sense of enlightenment. So if you're not thinking about the next Smash Bros. Characters in the shower, I recommend you give it a go.
So you're saying that you could feel the sunshine?
Yeah.
You could see the galaxy of possibilities?
Oof.
You were going through a mental odyssey? Okay, I'll stop.
Okay.
That could have been a great transition, though.
Yeah, it could have been, but I... Okay. I mean, I could see
still
the
one more thing we had to talk about before that.
Which is what?
The Animal Crossing and Easter event that's happening right now.
I intentionally skipped that, actually. But fine.
Podcast,
fine,
yeah.
Do it quickly. And
no,
I mean, quickly,
right,
we gotta go, Will.
Yes. So, if anyone is currently having right now playing Animal Crossing, the currently Easter event is happening right now with Hippie, and apparently not many people are very happy with this bunny, and because the reason being is that wherever you go, wherever you fish, wherever you chop, there's eggs around, so that if you try to go for fishing, bugs, or anything, no, you get eggs. Like, can they offer you this egg instead? It's just like Animal Crossing fans are a little bit ticked off regarding to the drop rate of eggs, and now nobody can find the bugs or anything else, and Animal Crossing fans are kind of miffed. It's just like, enough of the eggs, do not give, just can I just make some money? But nope, it's just eggs all around, which I don't know, Nintendo, this maybe seems to be an oversight of the drop rate, it just feels like. And I don't know, there's even some petition of saying like, no, get this event out of here, or at least lower the drop rate of eggs. Is I don't know, just observing this at this fire from Animal Crossing is like, okay, interesting.
All right. Well, and for our main event tonight, we're going to elaborate a little bit more on our first news item, which was the Mario game. And if this rumor is true, this basically means that we're going to get between 4 to 5, maybe more, Mario games this year between the remasters or whatever, the deluxe versions of maybe Paper Mario. Is this what's best for Nintendo in 2020? We're going to break this down in a Nintendo discussion. All All right, I'll go first because I have feelings. I have feelings about this. And to answer my own question, the answer is no. No, this is not what Nintendo needs. Now, there is a way to, I'm not going to say cop out, but get out from its own way. All right, and that's actually something that you brought up, Tyler, which is the Super Mario All-Stars treatment. If we get, like, a compilation pack, the Super Mario All-Stars 2 or 3D or whatever you want to call it, if we get that version and it has, you know, Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, Super Mario Galaxy, and maybe Super Mario 3D World Deluxe or whatever, and we have four titles in one package with only $50, that's a good way to get around it. Because you could have that in 1 month, then wait a few months, and then drop Paper Mario, and then you're good. But if this is like a series of releases, A, that's just flooding the market with Mario titles. And we've seen that happen before in Nintendo history. It doesn't always work. All right. And yes, I do know the irony because last year we had Mario U Deluxe and then we had Mario Maker. But that was two very different titles, six months apart. And one was a deluxe version and one was a brand new game. So, and that wasn't really flooding the market. But if, based on the fact that we're at least not going to get this until June, if they do individual entries versus the All-Stars treatment and then have Paper Mario, that's a lot of Mario titles. Even the year of Luigi wasn't this much. All right? What did we have? We had a Dr. Luigi U. We had Super Mario Brothers Luigi Deluxe or whatever. And then
Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
Dream Team.
And then, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Okay, that's four. So, yeah. But even then, that's four very different titles not competing with each other versus four 3D Mario games and then Paper Mario. That's a lot of Mario. So if they do this individually to, I guess, compensate, I don't know, for what's not coming this year, that's not exactly the best thing to do, in my opinion. And yes, I just remember that 2017 had Mario Kart Deluxe and Super Mario Party and not Mario Odyssey. But again, that's three very different Mario titles.
Super Mario Party came out the year after. Super Mario Party was 2018. It was.
Then I apologize. So that even proves my point.
Yeah,
so there you go. It's not that this is bad that they're doing this. I mean, the ports have done very well. Like, almost every port that they've done from Wii U to Switch, with a few exceptions like Tokyo Mirage Sessions, I think Captain Toad, like, did really well. Like, they all sold a million. Tropical Freeze, Mario U Deluxe, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the best-selling game on the Switch. Like 24 million, something like that.
A lot.
So, we know the ports sell, and that's awesome. Love it. But having all these released potentially one on top of the other would be bad unless they do the All-Stars treatment, in my opinion. And
that's...
then wait a few months, drop Paper Mario in its correct and pure form. Then that's a good way to celebrate the year of Mario.
I am on the opposite side of the spectrum here. Complete opposite, actually. I do not want them to do the All-Stars version of it. What I don't want is them to release Mario 64 and it looks exactly as it did on the N64. I don't want them to release Mario Sunshine and have it look exactly like it looked on the GameCube. Same thing for Galaxy. Particularly Galaxy, which is one of the best Mario games ever that really suffers from the Wii's poor visuals. Seeing that game on Switch in HD remastered would be amazing, beautiful. I would love that more than anything. I hear your point about not flooding the market, and I don't know if they charge $60 for each of these games. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I would buy every single one of them. I would agree, though, that might not be the best practice, and I could see people being upset about that and it having a negative impact on sales. If they did an All-Stars collection and they did remaster and touch up all the games, that would be the ideal, and they charge, even if they charge, let's say, $100 for it, that would be fantastic. I would love that. But I don't want to see them just port the games onto a Switch cartridge and add nothing, and then boom, print it out. That would
okay, well, hold on. Let me challenge you with this. What if they do it the remastered style, but they do still do it with All-Stars? So they still have, you know, improved graphics, updated mechanics and controls, you know, because we all know Mario 64 had a weird camera and everything. If they fixed all that, improved the graphics to the best they could, and then did the All-Stars treatment, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And okay. Like I said, even if they charged $100 for it, I would be cool with that. Instead of charging $60, that would be totally fine by me. I would love that. But the the new Super Mario Bros. Or the Super Mario 3D World, I've been on record saying is my most underrated Mario game. Love it to death. I'm very excited about the idea of a deluxe version of that, and that's a day one buy for me. Whether it's included in this collection or not, that is totally fine with me. But I think it's hard to overflood the market with Mario games, especially on the 35th anniversary, especially being that everybody, here's the thing, if you look at people's reactions to this, it's pretty much universally positive, one, and two, it seems like everybody has a different, it's like the community is evenly split between all three games, as which they're most excited for, and to see remastered. I'm most excited for Galaxy, but I've seen a lot of people who want to see what Sunshine looks like with a better camera controls. And
I never played Sunshine, so I'd honestly want to go for that one first.
Yeah, exactly. And I think 64, my older DK DJ, friend of the show, is a huge Mario 64 fan. He would be most excited for that one. So, yeah, you know, across the board, people are going to love different versions of this. So even if they did release them all separately for $60, some people might not buy all of them. Some people will. I would be fine with it. And for the 35th anniversary, it's a big deal. I think this is the right time to do it. And I also think they could get away with stretching it into next year and saying, you know, we're announcing this as part of the 35th anniversary, but we're releasing it over the stretch of 12 months. That might be a smarter way to.
Well,
yeah, I'm kind of, yeah, like thinking about it that way, because I feel like if they're going to like follow through with this year, the year of the Mario for the 35th anniversary, I feel like this would probably be a good plan to actually push it to the holidays, like really, like, even if they're gonna do that whole All-Star collection of all these titles, like back in the SNES days, like have Super Mario, like All-Star 3, the battle games, all that, but instead with Odyssey, Sunshine, 64, just basically a whole like Super Mario history collection, like what they did with back on the Wii, yeah, like that one collection title for Mario. Like, it's definitely seems we would be like a good choice, a good move on Nintendo's part to do so, because like as you said, Mario's Mario. He's the icon of the industry, and like you really can't get mad at Mario. Like, sure, people say like, yes, it's another Mario game, it's another thing, and for classic titles like Mario 64, like Odyssey is not really classic, but like, yeah, like Odie, but these titles definitely hold a lot of memories in people's hearts, I myself included. I mean, I love 64. I would love to see like how like you bring Switch graphics into the Nintendo 64 for Nintendo 64 and just like really revamp Super Mario 64 to the current day. Like, I would like to see that. And yeah, wait a minute. This is just a crazy theory, but because like, as you know, like Nintendo had kind of steeple making Mario levels in Dreams back on the PS4. So maybe that's the reason why they're making it now, because they are indeed making it. This is just a crazy theory, but I digress. But yeah, Nintendo would, I wouldn't mind if Nintendo would definitely go with the Year of the Mario thing. It's just, yeah, it's Mario. I frankly would have no problems with it. And we're going to the Super Mario 3D World Deluxe. I mean, I completed the game to every single characters with everything, and yeah, it was just a completionist dream for me. And heck, I won't mind. I definitely would not mind. So
my problem is that, you know, this is something we talked about all year, is that we don't know what's really coming out for Nintendo this year. I mean, we knew about Bravely, we knew about Tokyo Mirage, which was January, and we knew about Animal Crossing and Xenoblade, and now three of those four titles are either have come out or are going to be coming out within the next 2 months. And so that means that the whole back, if this is what their plan is, to release them all either individually or even, you know, in the All-Stars treatment than Paper Mario, that still means that two of the major, like, there's a, I just feel that there should be more variety, especially if they do it singly. If they do it singly, I'm going to freak, because it's like, you know, you decide to just do ports instead of making new games and whatever. And even with the coronavirus situation, which obviously could potentially delay certain things, in which I would be fine with that, you know, safety first and all that, that doesn't mean that they haven't been working on games for like years. Every year has been special for the Nintendo Switch, even in the quote-unquote down years. I mean, there's always been at least a few games to appeal to everybody, but right now, all we have is Animal Crossing. Like, right now, that's it. It's Animal Crossing. That's all we got. And then Xenoblade will come out, and that'll be fine. And then, okay, Pokemon Expansion 1 and 2, June and, let's just say, September. So, you know, okay, that's fine. But those are expansion packs. Those aren't long-term. Right. And as we saw with Isle of Armor, that really doesn't look fulfilling at all.
No.
So, we need something more fulfilling. And as much as we all love Mario games aren't long. Outside of Paper Mario. Paper Mario could take quite a while. But, like, those games aren't long unless you go for, like, you know, every star.
Yeah,
every...
Galaxies is a long game to complete. And Sunshine as well.
Fairly. Those, yeah.
So, but even then, and the replay value is intermittent. You either replay it or you don't. Because once you've done it all, why would you do it again? So,
granted.
Versus RPGs like Paper Mario. I've played Paper Mario 1,000 times because I just like changing out the little things, you know, having this character versus that character, and the story is just so engaging that I don't mind playing it over and over again. But I beat Super Mario 3D World once, was happy with it, and I have never played it since.
Yeah, I think that's just personal preference, because to me, true, RPGs are harder to replay outside of, you know, like, well, I don't know. I just think it's personal preference, because I can play Fire Emblem games 100 times, but I've also played Mario 64 100 times, and I've also played Paper Mario 100 times. So,
you've only played Mario 64 once, Mario Kart 64 once.
Yeah, the replay value does change, and you make a good point. Like, am I going to be happy if the only thing Nintendo releases this year is Mario games? No. At the same time, I've kind of, not to be a Debbie Downer, I'm looking at the outlook here, and I'm thinking, you know, it doesn't look like we have much coming. Like, they didn't do a Nintendo Direct until March 26th, and they did a mini Direct that had just about nothing new in it. And then, you know, the next Direct we're going to get is going to be at E3. That's going to be the next thing, and we'll see. Like, are we going to get Breath of the Wild 2 this November? I was optimistic, but now I'm not so sure if the Mario collection is going to be their big item. Like, that's probably going to be their holiday game. So, you know, if they're not announcing anything until June, we're going to get the Xenoblade Chronicles in May, and we're going to get Bravely Default 2 probably in July, somewhere around there. But, you know, maybe we get a game in September, maybe a game in October. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot this year. And as far as a big game goes, I would love a Mario collection. And a new Paper Mario.
Definitely Paper Mario.
It's definitely something to think about, because again, like, they pretty much like try to cover as much for the first half of 2020 before the post-war situation. And that thing we just don't know about right now is that the second half after E3, the second half is just, we have no idea what's coming up next. Like, it's pretty much, as you said, it's a blank slate. Will we get something like Metroid Prime 4? Will we get Breath of the Wild 2? Or like the rumored Mario collection? Nintendo doesn't have. That's the thing that's really gonna be very important for Nintendo this coming June, is like, does Nintendo have something planned for the second half of this year, and with this current situation that's happening right now? So, like, if they show something very good at this coming June in this next Digital Direct, or even a Nintendo Direct, then, yeah, that's going to quell a lot more fears. But that's the thing we just don't know right now. Like, what does Nintendo have for the second half? So, if it's indeed this Mario collection, this Mario All-Star collection, then, I mean, I would say that's a good, safe choice.
All right. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you, were you satisfied with the Nintendo Direct Mini? And 50% of you said yes, 29% of you said no, and 21% of you said vanilla cake with vanilla icing, which means okay. I was being creative, and I'm glad that worked out.
Is that seriously what you did? I gotta look this up now.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's really what you put?
That is really what I put, and
that's
people got it.
That's what he did. Yes, that's what he did.
Oh, gosh.
So
all right, well,
that.
The question for today is an obvious one. Which potential Mario title are you most looking forward to? The Mario remaster slash deluxe versions, or say that however you want, Tyler, or Paper Mario. What do we call it? A sequel title? A new Paper Mario title. So, yeah, do let us know. I'm very curious about this one because I know Paper Mario has a rabid fan base. I'm a part of it. But I also know that the classic Mario games, especially Galaxy, Sunshine, Mario 64, have a passionate fan base. So let's see where Mario fans stand at, shall we? And of course, let us know what you think about everything going on in the world of Nintendo between the Nintendo E3 leak potentially, DuckTales. Do you want to see a new DuckTales game? Fire Emblem. Have you played Cinder Shadows yet? The Mario Extravaganza, Shantae, Goro vs. Machamp. Who you got? And more. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!